You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Settling in for a Thursday edition of the program. Thank you very much for joining us at 3:04 as we come your way from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Econ Nutrition down in the Iowa River Landing down in Coralville. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Thursday. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew on the other side of the glass. How you doing today? I caught you looking down.
Yeah, I'm looking at the fan I have back here. I'm trying to wait for it so it oscillates back the other way so it's not blowing on me, because I'm actually getting kind of cold today.
Oh, well, we have climate problems in this end of the building.
Right.
We've had that for the entire time I've been here, which has been 18 years. So this older part of the building is a little bit climate challenged. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. So good to have you aboard. Mark Dukes joining me on the southwest side as well today. How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. And I'm challenged, but not climate challenged.
Yeah, we could all say that a little bit. Lot to get to on the program today. Barry Abrams is going to join us. We will preview the 149th running of the Preakness Stakes, which will come up on Saturday. Barry with ESPN, of course, the Out of the Gates podcast and horse racing expert. We will talk with him. First round of the PGA is underway and ongoing at Valhalla in Louisville. And a record day. We will get to that. A little bit of odds and ends today as well. The NBA having their get together as far as prospects are concerned. And we will talk about that as well after the combine a little bit. And NFL schedule coming out last night. State track. The co-ed meet all underway today as well. So a lot of things to discuss here. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that's 319-366-1600. Coming your way here on a Thursday on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And as always, you can go and revisit any of our shows via the podcast route. You can do that by going to our website at kgymradio.com, as well as Apple or Spotify. And Mark, we start off with golf on a beautiful Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. It's very nice weather as well in Louisville, Kentucky, going on for the first round. Tomorrow might be the iffy day. We'll see. But we were getting ready for one of the top majors, one of the four best tournaments, allegedly. And as a couple people on Twitter have exclaimed, the Bob Hope Desert Classic has broken out.
Yeah, a lot of low scores. For example, Tiger Woods shot one over par 72 today, and he's currently 86th, as men of the afternoon wave now on the course. Early on, Xander Schauffele had 9 birdies and 9 pars with a 9-under par 62. Tony Finau and Sahith Theegala, 3 back at minus 6. Rory McIlroy off to a good start. He and Robert McIntyre of England both at minus 5. So a mixed bag of some of the favorites and others on the course today in the first round in Louisville, Kentucky. And it didn't take long for Scottie Scheffler to make a statement on the first hole, right?
No, it didn't. First hole he played since coming back from the birth of his son, Bennett, last week. A 9-pounder, by the way. He's a big lad. Drove it down the right side of the fairway on the long par 4 dogleg left first hole, and proceeded to one-hop it into the hole on his second shot. So It is good to be Scottie Scheffler right now. And I believe Dottie Pepper mentioned it is the 13th hole out so far this year. And they're at about the halfway point right now of the PGA season. He's had 13 hole outs. I haven't had 13 hole outs in the last 7 years, Mark.
Oh, I've seen you chip in a couple, but maybe not a deuce on a par four. But he's off to a good start. He still trails by quite a bit behind Xander Schauffele. And the big question is whether Schauffele can keep this up. Nobody really liked him going in because of his reputation for being a poor closer. And didn't close very well last week at the Wells Fargo, but Rory McIlroy really took that tournament more than Schauffele lost it. So as Schauffele himself said today, happy with today, but there's a long ways to go.
Yeah, well, there is a long way to go. But forecast, as we mentioned, looks wet for tomorrow. So a course that is kind of gettable today really could get more gettable, and I could see anywhere. I could see between 15 and 20 under winning this, which for me anyway, I am not a proponent of that type of scoring on a major golf course and a major venue. I don't like to see it. It's these guys have gotten that good. And when you get scoring conditions like they have right now, there's a little bit of wind, not a ton of wind, and beautiful temperatures out there. You're not going to get a better day to score in a major than today, so you better take advantage of it. And looks to me like the guys, Mark, in the afternoon wave are kind of pressing a little bit. Not so much Scottie Scheffler, but, you know, you got Matt Fitzpatrick. He did just make an eagle to go back to plus one, but he's pressing a little bit. John Rahm is not off to a great start. Wyndham Clark is not off to a great start. I think a lot of those guys looked at the leaderboard after the morning and said, we're going to have to go out there and shoot something.
Yeah, at this point, 55 players are under par and a slug of others at even par. Yeah, when you wake up and watch the early action and see Xander Schauffele shoot 62, you get to the tee for maybe a 1 or 2 o'clock tee time. So, man, you got ground to make up. But I think these guys understand they're not going to make it all up in one day.
No. But, you know, if Xander does this for even 3 days, probably going to be very hard to catch him. But it's very hard to go back-to-back and have big-time low scores. We've said that many, many times. And as you mentioned, right now of this field, currently there are 55 under par of the field of 156. And if you're looking at even a plus one right now, Mark, like you mentioned, Tiger Woods shooting a plus one today. Low 70 and ties make the weekend. So right now, plus one is at 87. If you're looking, if you're a Tiger Woods fan out there, I think you got a you're a little sweaty right now because, A, Thursday is, with the new variation of Tiger, Thursday has been the day that he has done his best and scored his best and usually shot his best round. Going to probably have to go, I would say, if things stay like this and the rain comes in, it gets really soft, I think Tiger's probably going to have to go 68, 69 tomorrow to even get into the weekend, Mark.
Probably, but personally, I don't care about Tiger Woods. He's not going to win the tournament. He may make the cut, but it's a non-story to me.
The story of
anymore. I mean, 10, 20 years ago, of course it was a story.
Right.
Not anymore.
Yeah. And it's, but we hear about it and see it. The story of last year was Michael Block, the PGA professional who ended up in the top 10, got an exemption into this year's tournament. He went out in the first group this morning, and we've all done this, Mark. First two holes, registered a 5 and an 8, and actually played even par after that, but did end up at plus 5. So I don't think we're going to see the resumption of the Michael Block love affair this year in the PGA.
Doubtful, and, you know, it was very unlikely that he could repeat what he did last year. That was just magical timing for, what, 15, something like that, making a hole-in-one in a group with Rory McIlroy. But you're right, he did play pretty well after that quadruple bogey early on, and it's an accomplishment for any club professional to make the cut. Right now, the top club professional is Jeremy Wells, who shot a 200 par 69 and is tied for 17th. So, again, these club professionals are thrilled to be there, want to make the cut. It's kind of pie in the sky to imagine doing something Michael Block did last year.
Yeah, it really is. John Rahm is down there in Sean McKeel and Rich Beam territory. Rahm is 4 over through 6 and just not playing good golf, struggling right now. If you're wondering, John Daly, plus 11 today. He shot an 82, but having a good time there. Second to last, plus 16. One of the club pros shot a plus 16. That would be an 87 today, but they're off and running, and we'll keep you updated on what's going on at Valhalla throughout the day here and throughout the program. 319-366-1600. Not to say that, you know, these guys, even the club pros, it's a great – listen, it's a great feather in their cap to be there. That's part of the mystique of the PGA. 20 of the 156 spots are held for club pros. They do have 21 this year because Michael Block – got the exemption from last year. So hats off to those guys for even getting there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's it makes their year, it makes their career in some cases. But this is the type of tournament you can cut probably two-thirds of the field out. They're not going to win the tournament. And maybe it's more than two-thirds. I don't know.
Last night, the big story, the NFL schedule released at 7, officially released after the endless leaks throughout the day. We now know each individual game, who is playing whom and when. Some interesting observations from last night. The Kansas City Chiefs become the first team in NFL history to play a game on 6 individual days of the week. They will be playing on every single day of the week except a Tuesday this year with the games on a Wednesday. I think the most intriguing thing, Mark, was the fact that the NFL told in no uncertain terms to the College Football Playoff Committee, you want to go ahead and schedule games against us? Go ahead, because they put a triple header up against the first round of the college football playoff. So that should be interesting to see the ratings as far as the NFL versus the college football playoff. But pretty much what you expect as far as the scheduling and who got the most primetime games across the board here, Mark. The team that was the big loser, I guess, last night was the Carolina Panthers. If you are a Carolina Panther fan around America, you will not see Carolina in prime time at all this year. They have one appearance in Germany on a Sunday morning. Maybe that's Saturday night in Germany. I don't know how that works, the time thing. No, Sunday night in Germany. So I guess if you're in Germany, Carolina gets a primetime appearance. So, bully for them. But they are not going to be on a Thursday night or a Saturday or a Sunday night or a Monday night this year for the Carolina Panthers. So, don't expect to see Bryce Young a whole lot as far as national television is concerned. The teams that have the most appearances, the Chiefs have 8. They lead as far as primetime appearances is concerned. The Dallas Cowboys and the Baltimore Ravens, both with 7 appearances in prime time. The 49ers, the Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans, and the Pittsburgh Steelers of the playoff teams, all with six. Mark, the team with the most primetime appearances that did not make the playoffs last year, you have a guess?
Chicago Bears.
You're close. They were third. Bears are going to be on four times in primetime. Four times. No, it is not. Do you have a second guess before we tell you?
I don't.
Andrew, do you have a guess?
Nope, not at all.
It's a team that's similar to the colors that you are wearing.
Eagles?
Close. Who's another team that's green? Has a quarterback that I think a lot of people have either loved or hated over the years.
I mean, the other team is Packers that I can think of.
The New York Jets.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Not thinking them at all.
Mark, the Jets are going to, and Aaron Rodgers are going to be on six times in primetime this year.
Well, is that on network TV or streaming or what?
Some of those Thursdays obviously are on streaming, but they are going to be on primetime television six times.
Well, frankly, I don't get too excited about the NFL schedule release. I know it's a big deal for the NFL network and the league and for some fans. You mentioned some of the teams with the most appearances in primetime. Not coincidentally, they're all playoff teams. But there seems to be one or two teams every year that rises above things. And I remember the Lions 2 years ago were one of those teams. And, you know, I glanced at some of the analysis of the schedules, and every schedule is difficult in the NFL, in my opinion. You don't play well, you're not going to beat even the worst team. But, you know, there's some schedules a little bit more difficult, some schedules a little less difficult. There are examples of our two teams playing like three times in 10 days and whatnot. So I think for most teams, it's really a mixed bag, and it's I don't think it gives one team an advantage over another from year to year.
Yeah. Some of the teams that aren't going to appear a whole lot, the New England Patriots, only one appearance. How about that? Oh, how the mighty have fallen with the New England Patriots. They're only going to be on once. Indianapolis, only one appearance. Tennessee, only one. Arizona, only one. And the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos, along with Jacksonville, which had a pretty decent year last year. Missed out on the playoffs, but still had a decent year. They are only going to get two appearances as well. So there you go. That is it for the NFL schedule release. And we now have to wait 4 months for the NFL season to get underway. 319-366-1600. And we're going to take a very short break. We're going to come back. Barry Abrams is going to join us, and we are going to talk about the Preakness Stakes, which will come up in Baltimore on Saturday. So stay with us. More to come right after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have more sunshine this afternoon. There may be a stray shower in the southeast. Otherwise, it is going to be a dry rest of the day with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight, we'll have clear skies and drop down into the low 50s. Then tomorrow, it's going to be sunny and warmer with highs around 80. As we head into the weekend, we'll have mostly sunny, mostly dry conditions. A few spotty showers possible Saturday, but otherwise, temperatures will be in the 80s both days. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Have you ever seen a painting you love? Like a beautiful landscape with majestic snow-capped mountains, deep green pine trees surrounding a tall rock ledge, with a waterfall falling into a deep blue lake? I always wished I could paint scenes like that, but I had no talent and couldn't even draw a stick figure. But my life changed when I learned a simple 400-year-old technique from the old masters. In no time at all, I was doing beautiful paintings, thanks to paintbynote.com.
Hi. My name is Eric Rhodes, inventor of the Paint by Notes system. I had no talent, yet today my paintings are selling in art galleries. With my Paint by Note method, I can teach anyone to paint. I've taught thousands, and I can teach you too. I guarantee it. Soon, you'll be impressing your friends with your beautiful paintings. I'd like to give you a free lesson to prove it. No credit card required. Just go to paintbynote.com. Like a music note, Paint by Note. For your free lesson, go to paintbynote.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class, a Thursday edition here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 1345 likes the Thanksgiving Day slate. And Mark, you have to adjust your Thanksgiving Day meal times coming up this year because your Bears are going to be playing the Detroit Lions early.
Yeah, it's pretty good Thanksgiving schedule. Save the middle game. That's the Giants and Cowboys. And the night game is a good one. The Packers and the Texans, I believe. I'll adjust. I can eat later. Doesn't matter. It'd be a good game. Tough game. No question about it. But pretty good Thanksgiving Day lineup.
Yeah, Dolphins-Packers is the Sunday night game.
Dolphins-Packers, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dolphins-Packers. The Bruiners are going to have to adjust their Thanksgiving Day activities. So, everyone's got to adjust. Coming up on Saturday, it will be the 149th running of the Preakness Stakes from Baltimore. And we always bring in Barry Abrams to talk horse racing with us here on the Gym Class. And he does so here for the middle leg of the Triple Crown. Barry, how you doing?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, doing all right. My horse got nudged out by a nose that I picked to win the Derby. So those things happen, right?
You were a Sierra Leone backer?
I took Sierra Leone.
I could argue we should have finished third. If you saw the photo afterward, it looked like Sierra Leone's rider, Tyler Gaffleone, got his riding crop caught between Forever Young and the rider of Forever Young, Ryusei Sakai, and that had interference written all over it. But given that there were two disqualifications in that race in the prior 5 years, I think you would have had to take a gun and shoot somebody for the stewards to change the order as they crossed the wire. So you probably should have finished third, but you got second.
And that's the first thing we talked about, other than the fact that Mystic Dan won. But that was maybe the most physical Kentucky Derby that I can remember going way, way back.
Well, Mystic Dan and Sierra Leone, the first two finishers, bumped at the top of the stretch right along the rail. The stewards didn't do anything about that. And then what I just mentioned, and the stewards didn't do anything about that. But because the casual crowd is not used to disqualifications, and there have been two of them, one for interference and one for drugs, in the prior 5 years, and this was the 150th Derby, and Churchill Downs worked so hard, including keeping Bob Baffert off the grounds, they didn't want any kind of controversy to spoil the party, and that's what they got.
Barry, what happened to Fierceness? Not going to run this weekend. Favorite in the Derby and finished 15th. Seemed to get out pretty well. But didn't have much.
Well, that's the thing. We had said during this spot 2 weeks ago that John Velasquez, best jockey in the country, really, most experienced in this race, 25 starts in the Derby, was going to need to be a magician to get that horse into a good position from the 16th gate. He was number 17, but there was a scratch. And he did. He, you know, slid Fierceness about three wide as they went into the first turn very smoothly, and I thought at that point the race was over. However, they did go under 23 seconds for that first quarter. It was a quick first quarter, but you figured if Fierceness was as good as his reputation said he was, that shouldn't be a problem. He should blow them away. When they reached the top of the stretch, he was in perfect position. He was about three wide looming and came up empty. Very reminiscent of 2001 when Bob Baffert had, again, the prohibitive favorite in Point Given, who also loomed three wide, top of the stretch, empty, came back to win both the Preakness and the Belmont for fun by wide margins. I was there for the Belmont that year. It wasn't even a contest. But sometimes these things happen, and there's just no way to know why.
Well, Mystic Dan decided to head to Baltimore, run the Preakness. He's got a good starting spot. It's only an 8-horse field, and we'll get to that coming up in a moment, but he's going to go out of the 5-hole. Can he win again?
There's a lot in his favor here, notwithstanding the fact that it's going to probably be wet on Saturday. At least the track will be. It's definitely supposed to rain on Friday, supposed to rain into Saturday morning, maybe stop, but the track will have moisture in it. Now, three starts back, finished way out in front by 8 in the Southwest Stakes in Arkansas on a very wet track. The Derby technically went off on a fast track, but the day started out muddy, and it dried out through the day. But if you watched the horsemen walk over before the Derby, and you saw the condition of the track, there definitely was some goo down there, which had to have helped Mystic Dan. His best races are on wet tracks. He will probably get that again on Saturday. And as I'm sure you were about to allude to, but I'll steal your thunder, the main competition is out. Bob Baffert has 2 horses in this race, or he had 2 horses in this race, one of whom was going to be the favorite, a horse named Muth, M-U-T-H, who won the Arkansas Derby, but he developed a fever because of the trip from California to Baltimore. He traveled Tuesday, Wednesday morning, had 103 temperature, and he will not run. So a lot of things are going in Mystic Dan's favor. Now, one of the things we've talked about many times on this show, and I'm so grateful that you would have me back all these years, is that horses do not run on 2 weeks rest anymore. Many of them don't even run on 4 weeks rest anymore. This is an anachronism. Having said that, Derby horses that do go to the Preakness, like Mystic Dan, hold their form pretty well. I mean, even in 2009, when Mind That Bird at 50-1 won the Kentucky Derby, he then went to the Preakness and lost by a neck against the great Rachel Alexandra, the filly. Mind That Bird never really ran that well prior and never really ran that well again, but he held his form from Derby to Preakness. And so I would expect Mystic Dan to be right there, and without his main competition, he certainly has a better chance to win, though there are other horses who can beat him.
Stick with me here, Barry. Can you imagine Baffert having the winner?
It's happened many times where, quote, the other Baffert horse comes up to win. I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head, but there have definitely been many instances where the other Baffert turned out to be the winner. And Imagination, his other horse, certainly has the credentials. 2 starts back, 1 in California in the San Felipe Stakes. He just missed by a neck against Stronghold, who finished 5th in the Derby, which certainly flatters Imagination. It would be a heck of a story if he won, not because of Bob Baffert and all he went through in the last couple of years, but because the rider of Imagination is the legendary Frankie Dettori, who has won just about every race around the world that you can think of multiple times, including the Melbourne Cup in Australia, but never a Triple Crown race. Now, he finished 16th in the Derby on a long shot Society Man because Dettori had spent the winter riding for Bob Baffert, was hoping that Baffert's horses would make it into the Derby where he'd have had a real shot to win. He's never ridden at Pimlico or in the Preakness, and normally when you have a rookie like that, you'd be a little hesitant to take him, but Frankie Dettori is not a rookie. He is the winningest rider in the history of the Royal Ascot meet. There is nothing really that this man has not done except win a Triple Crown race. He has a pretty good chance here with Imagination.
Barry Abrams joining us here at 3:33 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa. Speaking of Iowa, it is Catching Freedom back for the Preakness. Had a very good run in the Kentucky Derby. Did very well for Albaugh Stables. Has he got a chance in the sprint at the Preakness?
I had a feeling you were going to get to him. There are a couple of things working against him here. I mean, I think, you know, like we said, horses coming from the Derby typically run well. That's certainly in his favor. But even though if you put a map, a picture of Churchill Downs on top of a picture of Pimlico in Baltimore, they are exactly the same size, the same dimensions. But The horsemen will all tell you, especially the riders, that the turns seem to be tighter. I don't know why that is. There's no legitimate reason, but the jockeys always say that. When you are on the highway and you have to go around a tight turn or a turn that appears to be tight, what do? You tap the brakes. When you tap the brakes going into the turn, you stunt the momentum of a horse like Catching Freedom, who's supposed to gather momentum coming from behind. So the track, even though it shouldn't work against him, probably will work against him just a little bit. Plus the fact that if it's wet, it's going to be a little harder to make up ground because it's going to be a little more slippery. That's working against him. But he certainly ran well in the Kentucky Derby. He's been the model of consistency. He's only failed to hit the board twice. And really, in the Derby, he missed hitting the board by under a length. So certainly has a chance here. I just wonder whether the track condition and the appearance of there being tight turns are going to work against him.
Any other horses, Barry, that have not been mentioned, you think maybe we should pay attention to?
Yeah, I mean, there's Seize the Gray for the legendary Dwayne Lucas. Lucas has two horses in here, Just Steele, who finished 17th in the Derby, and Seize the Gray. Seize the Gray didn't get into the Derby, but he did run that day in an undercard race called the Pat Day Mile. So he ran a mile, and he won it going away by a length and a quarter. Now, this horse has never won a race beyond a mile and a 16th, and this is a mile and 3/16, so another quarter of a mile, but his breeding says long distance. His father was Arrogate, who won the Travers and the Breeders' Cup Classic. His mother's father was Smart Strike, who certainly has progeny that win at longer distances. This horse has won races from being on the lead, being way off the lead, on dry tracks. He's won on a wet track, and it'll be wet on Saturday. So, I mean, you know, Mystic Dan was 18-1 in the Derby. He's 5-2 here. If you're willing to bet against him, Seize the Gray is 15-1 on the morning line. I think he has a chance. I mean, Dan is going to run his race and be there, and he could very easily win this, and we might be talking Triple Crown in 3 weeks. But you could do worse than to take Seize the Gray at 15-1. There's a lot to like about him.
Maybe a Belmont guy. We'll see out there. I got to ask you about my favorite horse name, Uncle Heavy. It just, I don't know. It just crept up there on me, and he's one of the long shots, but I got to ask you about Uncle Heavy.
Well, here's the thing. So he won two starts back in Aqueduct on a wet track in a race called the Withers. He ran that race in a minute 53 and change. Now, Mystic Dan, in winning the Derby, he ran a mile in 137 and change. The final time for a mile and a quarter, 203 and change. So that's a difference of 26-second final quarter. If you split that in half, his mile and an eighth would be around 150. Uncle Heavy, as I said, ran the Withers in a mile and an eighth in 153. So my guess is that this horse is just not fast enough to beat a horse like Mystic Dan. I think he's a notch below.
I like the name.
Are we going into the third leg with a possible Triple Crown winner in your mind?
I think so. I think Dan is going to also not only benefit from the off track, but he's going to go from the five, and I think at some point he's going to cut right back down to the rail, which is how he won the Derby. And if the other riders let him, if he doesn't have the target on his back such that he can't get to the rail. If he gets to that rail, he's going to be awfully tough to beat here.
Yeah, and of course, then in 3 weeks after that, it'll be the Belmont, but different site this year that they will run that.
Yeah, Belmont Park is under construction for the next 2 years, so the race will be run at Saratoga Racecourse. I'll be there for that. And the race, therefore, will not be a mile and a half, because you can't run a mile and a half on dirt. At Saratoga, the configuration doesn't allow it. It'll be a mile and a quarter, the same length as the Derby, the same length, of course, as their signature race, the Travers. It will not be any less difficult, though. Saratoga's a very quirky track, quirkier than most. Some horses really love it. Some horses don't. It favors horses, I think, that run in mid-pack early or a little forward early, and that's Mystic Dan style. So I think we're going to have something to talk about, and this horse that was completely dismissed going into the Derby might end up winning all three of these. Having said that, a lot of the Derby horses, like Fierceness, are going to probably be there for the Belmont, and they'll be way more rested. That will be Dan's biggest challenge should we get that far.
Maybe one of the more under-noticed possible Triple Crown horses that we've had in a long, long time. So we'll look forward to that. Got to win this Saturday first, though, before we talk about that.
There's a lot in his favor.
True. Very true. Hey, Barry, always appreciate it. We'll talk before you head to Saratoga, and keep up the great work with the Far Turn, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Barry Abrams joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter, B. Abrams Voice. As I mentioned, he is the host of the Far Turn, thoroughbred commentary, and the horse racing guy for ESPN. It's interesting. That's how sports can change, Mark, that quickly, because no one thought about Mystic Dan before the Derby. He wins, and now there's a possibility he could be a Triple Crown guy. Who knows?
I'm going to say he's going to finish at least eighth.
Going out on a limb on that one. Going out on a limb. We'll take a break, come back. Plenty more to get to here. Let's do this first. Before we get to a break, let's get it to you, Mark, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at 341. Brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock, and they are online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
At the combined state track, state track meet, first day today, three area champions, 3A boys discus, Ben Campman of Solon, the winner, 3A boys 3200 relay, Center Point Urbana, your champion, and in 2A girls 3000, Noelle Steinis from Tipton is the champion. Mount Vernon leads the 3A girls team race right now. The Division III regional softball tournaments are underway, and Co. opened with a 4-2 victory over Baldwin Wallace earlier today at the DePauw, Indiana regional. The Cohawks will play once again tomorrow at 11 a.m. Major League Baseball abbreviated schedule today. The Yankees shut out the Twins 5-0. Minnesota scored one run in three games. And finally, at the NBA Draft Combine, Peyton Sanford of Iowa scored 2 points in each of his last two scrimmages. A little scary yesterday, left shoulder, appeared to injure it, but he returned, and he has until May 29th to make a decision whether to return or keep his name in the draft.
That's going to be interesting. Did a lot of the, when he went through the combine, a lot of the individual workout stations, he did pretty well. But in the game situation, not so well. You mentioned the injury. He also went, I believe, 0-for-7 from three. Only had those 2 points. Didn't show real well, according to the NBA draft experts out there and the people that follow this. I still bet that he's coming back next year to play for Iowa. I'm not going to say 100%. I'm going to say 65% that he's coming back and 35% he stays in. The latest mock drafts that I have seen do not include Peyton Sanford. So for me, I think it would be a good move for him to come back.
I think it's much higher than 65% right now. Considering, despite his various testing, what he did in the scrimmages, and apparently didn't stand out, and that's too bad for him. But I think he'd benefit from coming back for another year, and we'll see what his decision is.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. A couple of crashes today in practice at the Indy 500. The 2022 winner, Marcus Ericsson, a big hit in turn number four. And Linus Lindquist also with a hit in turn number two today. So they both are okay, walked away from pretty scary hits, especially Marcus Erickson's. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and we'll get you updated, a PGA Championship update as well. So stay with us more to come after this here on the Gym Class on 1600 KGYM.
Just in time for grilling season, 1600 ESPN is giving you the chance to fill your freezer full of meat with our Meet and Greet contest. Today's winning code word is brisket, B-R-I-S-K-E-T, brisket. Enter that right now at KGYMradio.com for a chance to win $500 in meat. Plus, you'll also be entered for a chance at $5,000 as part of a national giveaway. Again, enter the word brisket right now at KGYMradio.com for a chance to win.
You ever have one of those days when you just couldn't come up with the right answer? Well, I know one answer that pretty much solves all problems. Ice cream. Yeah, it's the answer to everything, right? And right now, at Quickstar, our rich, creamy, straight from our dairy, Nature's Touch 1 gallon pails of ice cream are just $4.99. Yeah, now that's an answer worth digging into. Come on, be a problem solver. Bring home some fresh, delicious Nature's Touch ice cream. Only from Quickstar.
You've got it all planned. Spring cleaning, then off to the landfill and recycling building on Saturday, right? Hang on. You need an appointment if you're coming Saturday. Don't have one? No dice, pal. So plan ahead with a Saturday appointment or bring your stuff to the landfill and recycling building on County Home Road Monday through Friday between 7 and 4. You never need an appointment on weekdays. Simplify spring cleaning. Visit the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency weekdays or make your Saturday appointment early. Details at solidwasteagency.org.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 106th PGA Championship. Sponsored by USPS. Ground advantage. Simple. Affordable. Reliable. First round at Valhalla, and world number one Scottie Scheffler got off to a dream start with an eagle at one. Remember, this is his first competitive round in 25 days after the birth of his son last week. Scheffler added a birdie at four, bogeyed the fifth. Now through six holes, the reigning Masters champ is 2 under, 7 off the pace. Xander Schauffele was brilliant this morning, signing for a 9 under 62. It's the fourth 62 in major championship history. The list: Brandon Grace at the 2017 British Open, and Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele in the first round at last year's U.S. Open. Tony Finau and Sahith Theegala shoot 665s, they're 3 back. Rory McIlroy right there at 5 under. Defending champion Brooks Koepka at 4 under, 5 back. I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Because you want to hear bacon and eggs on your outdoor griddle, not the scraping of rust. Introducing the Weber Slate Rust-Resistant Griddle. Stays ready, not rusty, with a carbon steel cooktop, pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. The Weber Slate heats evenly edge to edge up to 500 degrees. All you'll hear is the gasp of amazement from friends and family when you serve the food. Cooking with the Weber Slate Rust-Resistant Griddle just sounds delicious and tastes even better.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
We welcome you back at 3:49. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. We've got NBA playoff basketball coming up tonight for you, as it will be a big pivotal game. The Denver Nuggets in Game 6 can close out the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight in a Western Conference second round series, with Denver leading that, the defending world champion Nuggets leading that series 3-2. We'll have it for you tonight at 7 o'clock with the pregame and 7:30 with the tip-off, or thereabouts anyway, coming up this evening. Another basketball game that a few people might be taking in tonight in Eastern Iowa, Mark. The home opener for Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever tonight, as they will be at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and I believe they take on the New York Liberty tonight.
That is correct, and this is a streaming game. It won't be over the air or on cable. I'm sure people have by now found ways to go ahead and consume that game, but it'll be interesting to see. Liberty, like the Connecticut Sun, two of the better teams in the WNBA, so kind of a rocky start here for Indiana. Got whipped against Connecticut. Caitlin Clark had kind of a mixed bag of a game. We'll see how they do tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to bank on the fact that I think Caitlin's going to have a good game tonight. I think she's going to give the home crowd something to cheer for. Liberty are good, one of the better teams in the WNBA, so I'm not going to say that the Fever are going to get a victory, but I think they're going to do okay. And yes, 57-11, Campman is the son, I believe. I'm 99.9% sure he's the son of Aaron Campman, the former college and NFL player that won at the state track meet today for the Solon Spartans. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. And Mark, we should let the folks know this particular piece of information before we get too far into the event here today. And it is Friday tomorrow. That means we're going to have a Friday topic. And this was actually one that Andrew wrote down on a piece of paper. When did we come up with this, Andrew? Do you remember? Or it wasn't us. It was one of our listeners came up with this, I believe.
I believe this is a Tuesday.
Okay. And it had to be a Tuesday or a Thursday.
Yeah, because I was here. Well, not necessarily, because Isaac occasionally needs days off.
Sure.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Tuesday.
Well, here we go. This is what we're going to talk about. We are going to come up with your top records and or performances to come out of the state of Iowa by Iowans, by an Iowa team, whatever the case may be, great performances, top records, et cetera, by Iowans.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we are going to discuss tomorrow.
I mean, we already know what number one should be, don't we?
Well, there are several possibilities.
I mean, she's one of the biggest people to come out of the states right now. So, I mean, 22, come on.
Is that better than Dan Gable?
I've been able to follow more of the 22 story than the Dan Gable story, so I don't really have much room to say on that.
Some golfers in there, too?
Yeah, Aaron Johnson.
Mark, we're going to have fun with that tomorrow. And it's not a competition. There is no wagering on this tomorrow, everyone. This is just, there's no right answer, no wrong answer on what you think is the best. We're just going to talk about great records and performances by Iowans tomorrow.
Yeah, and when we decided on this, a lot of events and records and performances came to mind. And for me, anyway, a lot of them in the professional ranks and in the Olympics.
True. Very true. Already we're getting three people weighing in. Four now. Save it for tomorrow, and we've got a lot of them to discuss. But we will talk about that coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Performances, records by Iowans, by Iowa people associated with Iowa teams. We're going to do that coming up tomorrow on the Friday topic on the Gym Class, so tune in. Wanted to touch upon this before we close up shop here today, Mark. We mentioned the NFL schedule, talked about that briefly a little bit earlier on today. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to the podcast at KGYMradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. One thing we didn't discuss is the fact that the NFL this year had to take into account, Mark, the dates of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. They had the only thing, I mean, college football playoff, we're going to schedule games against you. Forget it. Forget it. You know, holidays, forget it. We don't care about holidays. We're going to have a game. Eras Tour is not, as CBS Sports put it, the Eras Tour is not moving due to natural anything, disasters, whatever. It's not going to make a move. So some of the games, like, for example, Hard Rock Stadium, the home of the Miami Dolphins, they're going to see Taylor Swift be there on Friday, October 18th through Sunday, October 20th. Dolphins could not have a game on that particular day. The Eras Tour will be at the Superdome late October and at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Friday, November 1st through Sunday, November 3rd. You could not have NFL games during those particular dates. Also had to make sure that they stayed out of Los Angeles, out of Minnesota. Hey, stay away from the Taylor Swift tour and give her a chance to get to Travis Kelce's games. I think those are the two things that they took into consideration for the NFL schedule this year, Mark.
That's something, isn't it?
Oh, man. Yes. Not seeing Taylor Swift all the time. No, you might not see Taylor Swift all the time. Although Chiefs, as we mentioned, play games on 6 days of the week this year for the first time in NFL history. So I think you're still going to see Taylor Swift. They could have showed her a whole lot more than they actually did, to be honest with you. The PGA, just to get you updated before we head out here today, again, in case you missed it, Xander Schauffele with a record tying 9 under par 62 today. He's got a 3-shot lead over Thigala and Tony Finau. Rory McIlroy and Robert McIntyre at 5 under par. Brooks Koepka at -4. And really, the lowest score right now is Thomas Dietrich in the afternoon, Mark. He is at -4, and he is in a tie for 6th position. The average score is under par right now at Valhalla, which is a rarity in a major championship.
And conditions are going to be generally pretty good throughout the weekend, and it's going to be interesting to see what score actually wins in relation to par. But again, there's 3 more rounds left. A lot of things can happen.
I think we're going to see about 18 under. I think we're going to see it go that low. We'll see. We'll see it. I am not a, what do they call those Swifties? I like Taylor. She's fine. I don't like her like enough to go and buy a lot of stuff, but or go to a concert.
I was going to say, you wouldn't go to a concert over a football game.
No, I wouldn't. Spencer is next. Thanks for joining us. Back tomorrow at 3.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited